Our scripture this morning is the Psalms, the book of Psalm 135, and we'll read the whole of it. Or rather, Psalm 133, the whole of it. You find that on page 955 of your Pew Bible. Oh, sorry. I got my Bible here, but not from the pew. Well, your Pew Bible is, it's page 619. Okay? All right. So let's hear what God has to say to his people this morning. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This psalm is one of the greatest psalms that David wrote. It's believed to have been written at the time, when God brought together the northern part of Israel and the southern part of Israel to receive David as their sole king. So it was a time of celebration and joy, and they could feel the presence of God, because it has always been God's plan from the beginning that his people will be united in him. So when God's people came together under the king whom God loved for God's purpose to be fulfilled, it was a time of joy and a time that this psalm was reading. So here the psalmist is saying that it is pleasant and good when God's people are united. Some things can be good, but not pleasant, right? Yeah, unity by itself is always good. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are perfectly united. So unity is a good thing. Earlier in Scripture, shortly after God, created Adam and Eve, we see an example of a unity that was good, but was not pleasant. We see that at the time, a strong man arose among the people named Nimrod, who understood what God wanted them to do, because God had commanded mankind to increase and multiply and fill the earth. Now, this strong man comes up and he says, guys, let us come together and build a skyscraper to the heavens. Let's build a high-rise building, a tower that will reach the heavens, so that if anybody is missing his way and maybe gets to Latin America or Africa or wherever, they can look at the high-rise building and come back so that we do not fill the earth according to God's will. That was a good unity, but it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant because it was a unity opposed to God's will. So the Bible tells us that God looked down upon them from heaven and said to his angels, let's go and confuse their language. And God came down and confused their language. So if you're wondering where my accent comes from, I didn't do it. It was them. So their unity didn't please God at all. But we read through Scripture, we saw occasions when God's people united and built the temple and it pleased God. God's people united and did different things and it pleased, God. But our text here has specific reference that has eternal implications. Because here our text points to Aaron. If we remember, in the Old Testament, Aaron is a type of Jesus Christ, a picture of the mediator, the one that stands between the people and God. Aaron was God's chosen high priest who will go into the Holy of Holies once every year to offer sacrifices for the whole nation, for the whole people of God. So here God is pointing us to the reality that the unity that is good and pleasing to him is that unity that is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as Aaron stood as the mediator of the people under the old covenant that was temporary, ineffective in the sense that it has to be done over and over and over, the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of the best covenant that once and for all, as the high priest, offered himself, his blood, as a complete sacrifice for the forgiveness of all our sins for all times. So here God says to us that the unity that is good and pleasant is that unity founded on Christ as our high priest. What does this unity look like? And what does that mean? We read in Leviticus 21:5, you know, that the priest must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beards or cut their bodies. So you will see the priest and you will know that this guy is a priest. This guy is a priest. The Bible tells us that we are the priests of the new covenant, that you are a holy nation, a people of God, the priests of God. The Bible calls us that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. So each of us, believer in Jesus Christ, that has been saved through the power of the Holy Spirit, is a priest unto God. So just as the priest of the Old Testament will be seen and identified through this Aaronic covenant, our unity in Jesus Christ gives us identity. It is who we are. We are Christians. Jesus said that when we have one mind and we love one another, that the people will know that we are his disciples. One of the songs that we are going to sing throughout this service says that by our love, you know, we know that we are his disciples. Now, love and unity does not mean absence of misunderstanding, right? It doesn't mean that there will not be quarrels, and we know that these things happen because not only that we are in the flesh, but we are also battling against forces that are opposed to the kingdom of God. You know, the popular trend in the world today is if somebody makes you angry in your church, find another church. Right? If you don't agree with somebody in your church, it's time to quit. But that's not what Jesus told us. What Jesus told us is to stay and forgive and reconcile and seek unity. And it is in that process that we will begin to experience, you know, growth, that we will begin to experience that which is good and pleasant in the eyes of God. Because in the concluding part of this psalm, which we will get to time to come, it says that it is in this unity that God bestows his blessings, even life eternal. So unity that pleases God gives us identity. And not only that gives us identity, it affirms our salvation. When we are together in God, when we are together in Christ, it affirms our salvation. Because the word of God says that if you are in Christ, as I am in Christ, that we can have fellowship and that the blood of Jesus washes us of all our sins. Amen? Amen. It means that if you are in Christ, and as I am in Christ, no matter our disagreement or quarrel or misunderstanding, you know, we can have fellowship. We can make amends. We can come to a peace and understanding, you know, that enables us to experience the fullness of the healing that God has proposed for us. Because you see, what the enemy likes us to do is to change church. And we think that when we do that, the problem has been fixed. That's not true. We still carry the burden of that unhealed relationship into that new place. And it keeps piling up, So God wants us to stay, to reconcile, to love and forgive and find a new healing that comes from Him so that we can experience a confirmation of our salvation. The Bible tells us, you know, that this perfume, this oil that is talked about in our text is a special anointing oil. It is designed by God Himself. And God gives instruction in Exodus 30, 22 to 30, that only Aaron, the high priest, is going to put on this oil, this perfume. Only Aaron. So it's special. That's the nature of the salvation that we have received. It is a special gift of God. It is something God has proposed in His mind even before the foundation of the world and said, I'm going to save you. In spite of your weaknesses and your sins and whatever circumstances you're going to face on this earth, I'm going to save you. I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to forgive your sins, past, present, and future. I'm going to clean you. I'll put my Holy Spirit in you. Now you will have the power to live a life that is pleasing to me. So it's special. In the language of our tradition, we call it special grace, right? Because there's this other grace by which God allows everybody, you know, righteous and unrighteous, to enjoy the rain, the sun, and to be able to reap when they plant something. But this special grace that is found in Jesus Christ is for God's elect, those whom God has chosen by His, you know, special grace before the foundation of the world. So when we stay united in Christ, our high priest, it affirms our salvation. It affirms that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. Because the oil in that text is a symbol of God's choice, a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of infilling of the Holy Spirit. God saying, I have chosen this one. He is mine. She is mine. So this unity that pleases God, how does it, you know, play out in our society? We've talked about how it plays out inside us. It gives us identity as Christ. It affirms our salvation as people who have been anointed by God, chosen in Jesus Christ according to the will of God. Now, how does it play out? Our text here gives us an insight into that. It kind of describes how this oil runs down the head of Aaron through his beard, the collar. It's kind of, you know, goes all through him. And what happens is as Aaron walks through the people to the Holy of Holies, what happens? The fragrance of his presence spreads amongst the people. You can imagine how the people felt when God, you know, made, you know, water into wine, and they experienced God's wine, right? It was a special wine. And that gives you an idea how special this perfume could have been to the people. The fragrance was something beyond normal. So the people will experience the sweetness of the fragrance, and they will feel joy. They will feel a special, you know, presence of God. It fills the whole temple. And that's a picture of what our unity does amongst us. When we have one mind, acting together on the mission of Christ, in love for each other, forgiving, bearing each other's burden, pursuing peace, when we are doing all these things, it impacts us individually. And it impacts us within the family of God together as a church. The oil on Aaron's collar and robe is God's recipe. This fragrance spreads joy and happiness. Each of us has the capacity to spread joy and happiness amongst God's people. And when we unite in Christ, that's the impact that it makes. We are given another imagery of the impact of this unity. It says that it is like the dew of Hermon. It is like the dew of Hermon. Hermon is known as the snowy mountain, or the mountain of snow. It is the highest peak in the Syrian, Palestine region. Over 9,000, feet above ground level. And it's usually snow-capped all year round. So what happens is that during the summer, the heat will melt some of the snow and it becomes vapor. And in the night, this vapor will condense and become dew and, spreads, dew and mist and water in the area, the region surrounding the mountain. You can imagine what that does to the crops and plants over there. It refreshes them, right? It gives them life. It makes them to flourish. So the Bible tells us that the dew symbolizes God's blessings or favor. We find that in Deuteronomy 31, in Micah 5:7, Haggai 1. In fact, when we even go back to the time of Jacob, we see that when God was, blessing Jacob through Isaac, one of the blessings is that the dew will fall for him, but not for Esau, because that's God's, blessing. And we read in Hosea chapter 14, verse 5, God saying to Israel, I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Just as the dew from Hermon refreshes farm crops planted around Mount Hermon, the unity of God's people refreshes the neighboring community. It impacts the neighbors. We think about some of your outreach, programs to the campus, the programs you do during the week, sometimes inviting friends and family into the house of God. The dew of Hermon refreshes the neighborhood. Another thing we see in the text is that this unity that pleases God is like the dew of Hermon falling in Mount Zion. You can see Mount Zion and Hermon are very far, far away. Imagine the wind carrying the dew all the way from Hermon and refreshing the crops and plants in Zion. That is God's imagery of the fruit of unity of his people, that the unity of God's people refreshes distant places. Mount Zion is about 100 miles away from Mount Hermon. Here we see the picture of the Holy Spirit uniting God's people to impact distant places. The psalmist in our text concludes by saying that it is this unity that pleases God. That it is in this unity that pleases God, that God bestows his blessings and even life forever. So when God's people are united in Christ, when we are united pursuing the commission of Christ, our text tells us that it is in it that God bestows his blessings. Not only that we are filled with the joy of the moment, but through the work that we do as a result of our unity, lives are saved, communities are transformed, and the cross of Jesus Christ is lifted up above all things. God has used your unity to accomplish great things through the missionaries around the world. I'm going to show you, I don't know if the guys there got my link, but if you did, I would like to show the congregation a little bit about what Lima has done in the last 3 months. Did you get that, guys? Yeah, probably not. That's okay. That's okay. Right. Because of your unity, in the last 2 years, nearly 1,000 persons have experienced structured training over at least a 5-day boot camp in Nigeria and Uganda. And you can imagine that these are leaders of congregations, and you can imagine the impact that is going to make in their churches. This past April, about 11 missionaries left from here in the United States, and we're in Nigeria. And we spent time teaching over 800 kids the Word of God. And that happens because of your prayer and your support. And during that trip, as some of you may have known, the library that we have been building in the last 2.5 years was opened to the public. It was completed. These happened because you have a unity here that pleases God. So my prayer is that you will continue in that unity, that God will continue to fill you with joy and peace and forgiveness and love and growth and patience with one another, and that in unity, you will continue to pursue the vision of God for Fellowship Church. Because the Bible says that it is in that unity that God bestows his blessings and even life forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, Amen. Amen.